WBTV's Good Question is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
If you've stepped outside this summer, you know it's been hot. In different locations around the world, people have been dealing with high heat. Especially here in the Carolinas, we've had record-breaking temperatures some days. Has this summer been hotter than others? We're asking a meteorologist.
What's average for high temperature for July is 91. A lot of the temperatures that we have had are in the 90s, so we've been right around that.
This is WBTV's Good Question. Welcome to WBTV's Good Question. Happy to be joined by WBTV meteorologist Jason Myers today for a special edition of the podcast. Jason, thank you for being here.
Hey, great to be here, Alex. How are you doing today?
Doing well. I know a lot of WBTV viewers and folks who listen to the podcast probably familiar with you, but you've been at BTV for several years now, right?
Yeah, great to be here. It started in 2019 from the Charlotte area and went to NC State, got a meteorology degree. Broadcast TV brought me out of state for a while, but then got to come back here to Charlotte. Always wanted to come back to the Charlotte market. Family's here. So this is pretty much the area that I grew up in. So great to be back.
Is the term professional meteorologist, is that what you would say? I'm a professional meteorologist?
Have a broadcast meteorology is my background, but have a meteorology degree. So meteorologist. So
wow. Yeah. How many years do you think now have you been doing it?
So about 20 years now. So yeah, wow. Graduated from NC State 2003.
Needless to say, you've got a lot of experience. We appreciate you being here.
Great to be here with you, Alex.
We know.
By the way, you do an awesome job. I just want to say that. You do an awesome job. Enjoy your podcast. So it's an honor to be here with you.
Thank you,
talking,
man.
Today.
Thank you. We're glad to have you here. We've got some questions about this weather we've been experiencing. And I think folks around the world in different parts of the world have had some very, very high heat this summer, in the summer of 2022. I was curious whether it's around the world or specifically here in the Carolinas, has it been hotter than a usual summer this year?
Great questions, and there's a lot of variations that can impact local weather and as well as around the globe, and we have definitely seen hot temperatures across areas in the Midwest, across the Southern Plains. Internationally, areas like London, even Spain, France, they've had wildfires. We've seen the wildfires happening in the West. Here we have been experiencing some hot temperatures. We've even broken a few records back in June. So yes, you know, it is normal. Also, though we have hot temperatures this time of the year, it is normally the hottest time of the year. From early July through mid-August, we talk about it as the dog days of summer. So it's typically the hottest here in the Northern Hemisphere. But, you know, there's different factors. So for us here locally, one of the reasons why we've been a little bit hotter is June was a very dry month. And so when you have very dry ground, the sun, all the energy from the sun just goes right into heating up the atmosphere. So that really helps the temperatures to warm up quickly. So when we have more of a drought, and when we look at where there's been more of a drought out west, areas like Texas, areas across the West, the Rockies, those dry conditions, that's led to more of the hot temperatures and the more record-breaking heat that they've had as well. And then we also can look at globally what's happening, and we're in more of a La Nina event, and that's going on what's happening in the Pacific. So, you know, most of the Earth is covered by oceans. So what's happening in the oceans can have bigger direct impacts across the U.S. and even here locally.
Wow. So a lot of factors that come into play.
A lot of factors, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You mentioned June and the drought that we experienced here in parts of the Carolinas. I know parts of my yard got fried, it seemed like. Is there any rhyme or reason why that happens, or is that kind of what you were explaining, that there are just a number of different things that could be happening across the globe that lead to us not getting rain for, you know, a couple weeks?
So, you know, when you think about temperatures, and then we'll go back to precipitation too, but with the temperatures, you know, that's going to be directed by the sun and the energy coming in from the sun. So if you have more sunny days, you have more of a dry ground, you're going to have a lot more of the hot temperatures. If you have had a lot more of a rainy pattern, more clouds as well, that's going to keep temperatures a little bit cooler. So with a La Nina event, we look at what's happening in the Eastern Pacific Ocean and during also an El Nina event. You've probably heard of those before. So with a La Nina event, that usually means across areas like Texas, the Southern Plains, and here into the Southeast United States, we're usually drier and warmer than average. So when we go back and look at record keeping since the late 1800s, we can see some of the hottest years were really years that we had more of the drought conditions, and that also led also to more of the hotter temperatures and when we set a lot of records. So really this year has not been any different than what we've had. We've had a lot more records at times in the 1950s and across the United States, really the 1930s. So a long period of really hot weather where a lot of weather records were broken.
So, that's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any way to predict way in advance and say, you know, in 2020, you know, maybe 2021, 2022, we're going to get some really hot summers? Or is it not something you guys can forecast out way far in advance?
So you can, yeah. So, you know, one of the things, too, people also wonder about, okay, what about Farmer's Almanac? How do they make that forecast months out? And so typically they can look at global patterns, how the setup is. You can go back and look at years prior. So 2022, was it similar to 1954? Was it similar to 1938? You know, what was it globally happening? And you can see there's, of course, better data in the really the past 20 years, but you can go back and see globally what was happening, compare those years, what ended up happening in those years, and then make a forecast based on that. You know, for us, for forecasting, typically with the weather data that we're forecasting, it goes out accurately about 10 days. And even then, it can be challenging as far as the temperatures. Right. And there's always some curveballs there with weather, even day to day, especially this time of the year with storms and it being so scattered. However, when you're making these long-term forecasts, you can see globally what's happening, and then that can relate to different weather patterns that typically set up, and then that can lead to more of a long-term type pattern where you're drier than normal, or you're maybe stormier than normal, you have more rain than normal, expected hotter temperatures or cooler temperatures. So you can look at those different weather patterns globally, and that can impact us here locally.
So in layman's terms, we, you know, right now are saying it feels like it's been the hottest summer ever, but you guys can look at the historical data and say, you know, there have been some other really, really hot years too. It's not like 2022 summer is something that's never been seen before.
Exactly. So, you know, a lot of the temperatures that we have had are in the 90s. What's average for high temperature for July is 91, and I think today and really the rest of the end of July as we're having this recording is 90 degrees is an average high temperature.
Okay.
So we've been right around that the past couple of days or maybe a little above that. And when we look at records, we broke two records during the month of June. We have not, at least from what I've seen, broken any records in July. We've been very close. We've maybe been a degree or two away from the record high temperature, but we haven't been setting a lot of record high temperatures. And, you know, just to throw some numbers out there, I don't want to overwhelm people, especially
no, this
if you're
is
listening
good.
In. You know, we don't have, you know, I don't have my weather graphics to show you here, but the hottest temperature on record for Charlotte is 104 degrees. And that was set back in 2012. So not that long ago, only 10 years ago. And that was on July 1st, 2012, again, 104 degrees. And it was just last month in June, on June the 22nd, that we hit 101. So that set a record that day. Also, we hit 98 degrees on June the 13th. Mm. That also set a record high temperature as well. But yet, so far, the hottest day for 2022, that was back on June the 22nd when we hit 101.
I remember that. And I remember in that spell when we were getting some real hot days, what would you say was the reasoning for that particular hot spell? I think you mentioned earlier in the interview, just we were talking about the ground. Was that part of it?
So when we go back and look each month, For this year so far, June has been our driest month so far.
Yeah.
And so that really led to maybe more of those hot temperatures by the end of June, especially. We were also more in a weather pattern that led to a lot of these hot temperatures coming in our direction, across areas to our west, across the southwest United States, the southern plains. Again, they were dealing with drought conditions. They were also above average. And you know, that wind direction also plays a big part. In fact, areas like England, they were dictated by seeing hot temperatures due to their wind direction. Typically, you know, they're more of that Great Britain, more of an island, so you get those maritime winds off the ocean that can keep things a little bit cooler. They were having winds out of the south and bringing in a lot of hot air from France and Spain, and that brought in hot air to England, and they were setting triple-digit temperatures and breaking records as well there, all based on the wind direction. So, but again, they've been dealing with drought conditions there in Europe as well, and again, when we look at that globally, that can really be related to La Niña years. Again, in the Eastern Pacific, can set up these different weather patterns.
Wow. Do you enjoy studying this stuff?
You know, I do. There's always something to learn when it comes to weather. So if you don't continue to learn, you just get behind because there's so much data out there. There's so much new research that's being done.
Right.
And there's so much more research still to do as well. So, yeah.
We are talking to Jason Myers, veteran meteorologist from the First Alert Weather Team at WBTV, asking him about the hot summer we've been having here in 2022, the reasons behind it. We want to ask him about some of the terminology associated with forecasting. We're going to do that in just a moment, but we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
All right, we are back now with Jason Myers, meteorologist from the First Alert Weather Team at WBTV. I know you always throw these terms around when you're going through the forecast on WBTV during our newscasts. Wanted to ask about some of those terms because I think I've got like a general understanding of what they mean, but I know you can explain them better.
Okay.
Humidity always comes into play, especially here in the Carolinas. Exactly what is humidity? How do you break that down for folks?
And, you know, that can be very hard to understand. Mm-hmm. To try to keep it as basic as possible to understand, a lot of times you'll hear us as meteorologists talking about the dew point.
Right.
So that's the temperature that that temperature is brought down to the temperature wherever the dew point is. So let's say the dew point 73, the temperature is brought down to 73. That's where the air can't hold any more moisture in the gas form. And it starts to condense into the liquid form, whether it's fog or precipitation. So if you have a dew point of 73, you drop that temperature down to 73, you're going to have at least, precipitation happening. So that's the amount of moisture in the air. So when you have a higher dew point, like 73 degrees, you're going to have more moisture in the air than if you have a dew point of 50 degrees. So again, it can be misleading because of the humidity factor. So relative humidity is based on the temperature and the dew point. So for instance, in the winter, you might have, I will say, 35 degrees is the temperature and the dew point's at 30 degrees. So when you're getting close to those, again, that 30 degree dew point is going to be drier air than in the summer. And that's going to be a higher relative humidity factor because it's a mathematical equation, basically. But that temperature and the dew point's very close, 35 and 30. Now, reverse that into the summer, you have 95 degrees for a temperature and you have 70 degrees for a dew point. Well, again, those numbers are further apart. And so the relative humidity factor is not as high. But again, that dew point is the measure of moisture in the air. So that's a much higher amount of moisture that's in the air in the summertime. So that dew point, again, the dew point factor, the bottom line is, I made it a little complicated there, but the dew point is just, again, the amount of moisture that's in the air. So you can think of it that way. And so how that relates to us in the summer, so when we sweat, it doesn't evaporate off our skin. So if you're out west where there's a drier air, you sweat, or you maybe don't even sweat. You don't even know that you're losing that moisture. That's why you can also, you need to keep drinking water even if you're not sweating out west where you do have that drier air. But here in the south, southeast, North Carolina, the Carolinas, sweat, and then it just doesn't evaporate. So it doesn't really cool you down. So you just continue to stay sweaty. So that's one of the reasons why it just feels so uncomfortable, especially in the summertime. But again, the dew point is just the amount of moisture in the air. So with more moisture in the air, one thing I think that's interesting too, I was just looking at, and one of the instruments that is used to kind of measure the amount of water vapor in the air or the soil is a hygrometer. And you can actually get those for your home as well. They can be inexpensive. You can even buy it off of Amazon or maybe even a place like Walmart would have it. And then some of them can be very expensive as well. But if it's drier than maybe 40 to 60%, which is kind of the ideal range for indoors, that's where it just feels comfortable inside. Airborne viruses like the flu that can remain infectious up to 5 times longer. So a lot of times in the winter, you're going to have that drier air. You know, you can feel that. People use maybe humidity, you're using something to provide more water vapor in the air just because it's so dry, especially when you open the doors, that drier air from outside comes in. So kind of crazy. Sorry, I'm going off on a tangent.
No.
But I think what's interesting is weather can even play an impact on our health in that standpoint. And that's one of the reasons why in the winter, you're going to have a lot more infections with the flu or airborne illnesses as well.
That's incredibly interesting. Dew point independent of the actual temperature? Or can you say, you know, the dew point is this, the humidity is this, that's going to actually alter the temperature?
So great questions there. So dew point has nothing to do with the actual temperature. It's it really is just measuring the amount of water vapor. So that's how much. So the more water vapor that's in the air, that higher the number, that temperature does not have to be as low for it to produce a condensation to happen. For water in the form of what we call water vapors, water in the form of gas, which is here in the room or around us when we walk outside, we can't see it, but it's water in the gas form. You know, when you get out of the shower, it gets really muggy and how, you know, so you get that steamy cloud that's formed. Basically, you're bringing in a lot more moisture into that room and that confined space and that where the shower is happening. And so, again, that amount of water vapor just increases. So that dew point would be increasing in your bathroom then if you're bringing in a lot more moisture from the shower, a hot shower especially. So
this might be a dumb question. What is it about the Carolinas and where we are in the country that gives us the humidity? Because people always talk about like, oh, you know, out in Arizona, we don't have the humidity like you do down there.
Great question. You know, and it does depend on the wind direction. A lot of times we have the ocean, so that can bring in more of a moisture factor, but especially the Gulf of Mexico. So that's where we get a lot of our winds coming in from, especially if you've ever visited or lived in the deep south, especially along the Gulf Coast,
Louisiana.
You can feel the muggy factor. So there's all that moisture that's bringing in. That's more that tropical moisture being brought in. But yeah, from the Atlantic and also from the Gulf of Mexico. Out west, when you have winds coming down the mountain, is what we call a downsloping wind. That dries out the atmosphere. It's a drier atmosphere. So that's another reason why typical weather patterns go from west to east. We're not going to go all crazy here. But basically, out west, they have that drier wind because you've got these rocky mountains and you got air coming down the mountains and that dries the air out. So you've got the drought, you've got the drier air, and that's leading to a lot of the wildfires out west. Sorry, we're going crazy.
No.
Here.
I'm asking the questions,
it's the
though.
Matrix. Yeah, we're going deeper levels. Sorry.
So geography is a huge factor when it comes to that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
The feels like. You guys always talk about like the feels like temperature. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's 95, but it's going to feel like, you know, 100. What all comes into play with that?
Yeah, you see the heat index. So basically, that's just where there's a chart, and even the National Weather Service has that. We have that on our weather maps at WBTV. We're showing that as the feels like temperature. It's the heat index. And same thing for a wind chill. So for a heat index, it's the amount of how high is the dew point, and then how high is the temperature. So if you have a temperature of 90 degrees, but a dew point of 73, you might have a heat index or feel like temperature of 100 degrees. It feels so much hotter because it's so muggy outside. If you had a lower dew point, it would feel just like it does, 90 degrees maybe or something. You know, so when it's higher dew point, that has a factor on the heat index. The temperature stays the same. You know, temperature's at 90 degrees. If you have a very low dew point, it's still going to feel like 90 degrees. But if you have a very high dew point and very much moisture in the air, the muggy factor is really high, that's going to make it feel even hotter. It's going to make it feel maybe, you know, 99 or 100 degrees.
Right.
In the winter, it's different from, it's based on the temperature, once again, which doesn't change, but the wind speed. So it's that wind going against your skin, how does that feel? So if it's, you know, 40 degrees outside, but you have winds gusting to 25 miles per hour, that's going to make it feel a lot cooler. That's, you know, that cold wind is going to make it feel a lot cooler. So that's the wind chill.
Got it.
We talk about in the winter.
Just out of curiosity, and I don't know if you can think of this off the top of your head, but what's the biggest spread you've ever seen between like the actual temperature and the heat index? Like, could it be as far as like it's actually 90 degrees, but it's going to feel like 100, or would that be a stretch?
Yeah, you know, great question there too. And usually it's about 10 degrees. That's about what I see this time of the year. Mm-hmm. So the temperature might be, you know, 90 or 92. But then the dew point's in the lower 70s, and that gives us heat index of like 100 degrees or 105. So the National Weather Service, they are the ones that are responsible for sending out watches and warnings. Mm-hmm. And so not individual TV stations. So they're the ones that send that out. Otherwise, you'd have maybe one station would be sending out a heat advisory, the other station wouldn't be. It'd be really confusing. So the National Weather Service is the one entity that does that across the U.S. And so they'll send out a heat advisory, and that's based kind of locally on what the threshold is. So for instance, here in the Charlotte area, the Charlotte metro area, which the heat index, the feel-like temperature is 105. So that means the temperature might not reach 105. Maybe it's 95 degrees for a temperature, but we're expecting these high dew points. So the feel-like temperature, the heat index, is going to make it feel like it's 105 or hotter. Then they'll issue a heat advisory for that time period, maybe for the afternoon into the evening. It's a higher threshold if you go a little further south, like Lancaster County, Chesterfield County, South Carolina. They're out of the National Weather Service out of Columbia, South Carolina. And so their threshold, you have to get more about 110. The threshold for an excessive heat warning, that's an even higher threshold. So we were seeing some excessive heat warnings that were issued back in June when we hit 101, because our temperature was really high, but our dew point was very high as well. And that made it feel like it's 115 for some places. Ooh. Or 110 or hotter. So yeah, that gets that excessive heat warning when you get in those ranges.
And that's when the heat advisory comes into play.
So yeah, you have the heat advisory, and then the level up above a heat advisory is excessive heat warning. And that's just where it gets really dangerous. Working outside, mm-hmm. you know, if you are working outside all the time, It you know, and depending on what kind of job you have, if you're doing, I know for me, I spent a lot of summers working with my granddad, who was a plumber. And so we would get, you know, hot sometimes. Under a house was not as hot. We would get dirty. But if you went up in the attic, oh my goodness, it got so hot out there. So all the men and women that have to work outside, that's a huge factor. I think for us here in the news business, it's the reporters. They have to deal with the weather. They're out there. You know about that as a reporter. If you're out there in the heat, if you're out there and it's cold, sometimes they'll send us out there. They sent me outside a couple times to report. It seems like about the heat on the hottest days, and it's not fun. It's not fun. But our reporters do a great job. But that's probably the hardest job. And for the news business is the reporters, because you're having to be out there in the elements. You're having to deal with the storms if they're coming through, or lightning, and whole another story there, but yeah.
All good points. And I was about to say, but that's a reason why people need to take it seriously, though, mm-hmm. especially I think folks who are familiar with the news or watch the news a lot, and you hear that terminology pop up from time to time, but I think you need to take it seriously when you hear that heat advisory, because that is, they put those out there because it could get dangerous for folks who are working out in the heat, or, you know, people who work construction. That's the case for those, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Most of the people that work in air conditioning buildings, you walk into your car, you turn on the AC, you drive to work.
Probably no big deal for them.
Yeah, maybe no big deal. But if you're working outside, especially if you're exercising outside, and especially if you have someone that does not have air conditioning, that's when it can become very dangerous. Even summer camps for kids, or you know, young kids maybe don't know to make sure they're drinking a lot of water, or kids that are with these sports practices going on over the summer, having to use a lot of caution there, especially elderly folks, maybe if they don't have air conditioning, because it can get expensive for some folks, and so they have the fans going, but that heat can be deadly for some people.
I've got a couple more for you here, Jason, and I'll let you get back to work.
Okay.
How do you guys decide the exact number when you're putting together a forecast? Like, you're going to say, you know what, I think the high is going to be 98 today. Because I've heard you guys talk about this in recent weeks when you're talking about potentially a record being broken, because, you know, it seems like it's almost nerve-wracking. You're like, should we forecast the record being broken or not?
Right. And to break it down, how do we make a forecast? Mm-hmm. What is kind of the simplified terms to that? So there are places all across the U.S., whether it's at airports with weather stations, or an airplane even up in the air, weather balloons that get sent up from different airports all across the U.S. And so all that's bringing in data. We have satellites that can actually measure different temperatures in the atmosphere and at the surface. So all that data is being brought into our what we call supercomputers, computers that can crunch a lot of different data. And so in meteorology, as a student, we had to learn a lot of math. So basically, these weather models that you hear us say, weather model, what is a weather model? Well, basically, it's mathematical equations. It brings in all this information input of data, temperature, the dew point, the relative humidity, the pressure. So all these are being brought in, and that then makes a forecast. So it's computers that help bring in that data, and that's what helps to make the forecast. So that's kind of a general way of looking at it with numerical weather prediction. And so we get data in. We have different weather models. Some go out far, like the global forecast model. It's American model. You hear us call about, you know, talk about the European model.
Yep.
There's the North American model, which is a little bit more short term. And so these weather models give us data four times in a 24-hour time period.
Okay.
Every day. And so we get this new data four different times during the day. So when we get this new data in, Mike gives us a little bit of different numbers. Generally, they're very similar. So when I'm making a forecast every day, I'll write down all those numbers. And I'll look at the previous meteorologist as well. And then you start to look for trends. So yesterday was the GFS model, the global forecast model. Was that cooler than what the actual temperature was? Or the European model, was that, you know, is it forecasting warmer than what actually happened? So you also go back to look at what happened, you know, and our temperatures. So you're adjusting as well. So you're making adjustments along the way. So you're getting that new data in. So when we make our forecast, we're making a forecast. We sit down, we make that forecast every day. So whatever, you know, our morning meteorologist did, whether it's Chief Meteorologist Al Conklin, Alicia Wilson, or Becca Birdsall, whether they made a forecast, or me and Rachel Coulter, we're looking at the new data coming in the afternoon. So we're maybe adjusting that temperature, or maybe we're bringing up that rain chance. And so looking at that new data that we get, we can make a better forecast. Now, this time of the year, when it comes to showers and storms, there is also more of a high resolution model that comes in every hour.
Wow.
So it does a good job of forecasting out about 12 to 18 hours. So it can give us an idea maybe if storms coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we call nowcasting, that's when we can see what's happening on radar, maybe to our west or northwest. It's a line of storms moving through. These storms are moving at 25 miles per hour. They're 100 miles away from us. They're going to arrive in 4 hours. You know, so you can base storms you know, on how quickly they're moving and how far away they are. And then that's what we call more nowcasting. We can get an estimate of when those storms are going to arrive.
Gotcha. Last one for you here. Yeah. Your biggest advice for people when it comes to handling the heat in the summertime? Because I know it might sound like a cliche question, and a lot of folks think they probably know how to handle the heat, but I'm guessing you know better than most what to expect day to day when it comes to what people are going to feel when they walk outside.
Great question there too. You know, I think a lot of it is common sense, is things that mm-hmm. we already know, but especially people that may not be able, young children, I think of,
yes.
for instance. And so one of the most tragic things we hear about is kids being left in a car. And so an inside of a car can warm up much faster. So just making sure that you have something to remind you, if you have your, you know, kid in the back seat that fell asleep, you know, that we hear those stories where a parent forgot that they had their kid back there in the back seat, car seat, a kid fell asleep, they get out, they totally forgot. So those are always tragic stories there. So it's, you know, just different things that could remind you, okay, the kid's in the back seat, maybe you have some sort of stuffed animal or something you put on the dash that reminds you the kid's in the back seat.
Right.
You know, different ideas on that. The common sense is just making sure you stay hydrated. That's one of the most important things. And then just taking breaks. And so whether you're a coach and you're coaching kids or a trainer, maybe you're just exercising yourself, your body will start to tell you, okay, I'm feeling a little lightheaded or dizzy. I need to take a break in the shade, in air conditioning if possible, and make sure I'm hydrating and drinking plenty of fluids throughout the day. I think those are the biggest things. You know, water is so important, or staying hydrated is so important as well. So,
absolutely. Jason Myers, meteorologist from the First Alert Weather Team at WBTV. So much respect for what you guys do, and it's fascinating to listen to you break it all down for us. Jason, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Alex. Always great to be with you.
WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bull. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios at Huga Coworking in Charlotte, North Carolina.
queencitypodcastnetwork.com.